And welcome back to my house, Rosie on the house. If when Jennifer and I are in the middle of a conversation with each other, with Romy, with Mike, our broadcast engineer, and you'd like to join the conversation, never hesitate to call and share your favorite memories about similar events. The number will be 1-888-767-4348. This segment, we're bringing in Dr. Sky. We have a significant event occurring just as we speak. Let's find out if we're going to get the kind of cloud-free skies we need to watch it. Dr. Sky, good morning.
Good morning, Rosie. Good to be in the house. Thank you so much for having me here.
Man, well, I am just tickled to death that we were given a heads up that this particular event is occurring in tonight's sky.
Well, sure, Rosie, for all of our listeners out there, we've been talking about this on other shows and all around the country, but tonight, if the sky conditions are clear, and we're hoping they will at least be partly cloudy, look to the west-northwest, and what we're looking for is a superb conjunction of both Venus and Jupiter. Now, this is of biblical proportions, folks, because if we go back to our history and think about the Star of Bethlehem, this indeed probably was a great conjunction of both Jupiter and Venus. And because the calendar changed all through time, the actual time of the sighting I'll talk about first, the biblical sighting, was back on June 17th of 2 BC. And what alleged was the wise men, of course, searching for the birthplace of the newborn king, the Christ child, they noticed these particular planets coming close together, which we've been seeing over the last month.
Wow.
But then, Rosie, get a load of this. These two objects came within an astronomy term called 36 arc seconds. Now, everybody's waking up with their cup of coffee or whatever and going, what the heck's 36 arc seconds? So think about this. If you looked at Jupiter in the telescope, just the round ball of Jupiter, the tiny little speck, that's how close then both Venus and Jupiter got. So what about tonight? Tonight we have another of these conjunctions, not that close in the sense of biblical proportions of the 36 arc seconds, but if you simply look into the west-northwest, your eyes may not be playing a trick on you. You'll be seeing both Venus and Jupiter. Maybe to the naked eye, Rosie, they'll appear to merge together. Then hold a pair of binoculars and you'll say, wow, I can't believe it, Dr. Sky. Those two objects are very, very close. I can't split them with my eye. Then you get out your little telescope and point it at those two objects, and you get to see them in the same field of view. So that's an amazing conjunction, Rosie, that we haven't seen in a long time. And if you're an interested person in dates, November 22nd of 2065 is the next time they'll be that close again. So I'll be 109, Rosie. How about you?
2065. I'd have to do some math, but probably very close to that.
So that's a long time. So hoping the skies are clear. I watched the conjunction, probably like many people, through the little vents that were open there in the clouds last night. But I'm sitting here, like many out there, just looking out in from my office here and looking at the sky. And at least the weather forecast says, you know, possibly a clearing or a partly cloudy sky. But, Rosie, that's amazing. And that doesn't happen all that often. So it's a beautiful thing.
You're spotting this in the northwest.
West-northwest, right.
Okay.
Where the sun sets.
Okay, all right. And how high above the horizon should we be looking for this?
You're looking at about 12 to 15 degrees. So how do you know
pretty
that?
Pretty low.
Okay. It's still in the twilight sky. So take your thumb, hold it against the horizon, and as high as your index finger is straight above your thumb, that's about the illustration of how you'll be able to see it. And again, that's assuming you had a perfectly clear sky. So you may have to dodge in and out of the clouds, you know, looking left and right. But it's amazing. But it doesn't all end. So what happens, and this is closest for the folks across America, at 6:31 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time,
okay. When
the two objects are what we call four arc minutes for our, you know, very technical listeners out there. But by the time we see it, it'll move out to about 11 arc minutes, which means it's still just about barely discernible as two objects with the naked eye. That's the simplest way to say it this early morning. But it's an amazing sight. But you can watch it over the next week as it separates and continues to get wider. What's happening? Venus, which is closer, obvious to us than Jupiter, is moving faster. It's the object on top, and it slides above the planet Jupiter. And now it regains the title of the evening star as Jupiter goes into the sun. Venus will only get brighter and be that beautiful marker in the evening sky after sunset.
And this is all happening how far away from our eye?
Well, you're looking at the planet Jupiter, the fainter of the two, and I hate to put Jupiter in that category since it's the largest. It's about 590 million miles away, and you're looking at Venus still within the 100 million mile mark. And it's interesting, Rosie, because you're looking at the same time both in toward the solar system and out at the same time just because of the way they're lined up.
Oh, no, so wait. You're bending my mind here. What are we doing?
When you see both of these objects, you're looking out past the Earth, and you're also looking in toward the sun because Venus is closer. It's the next planet naturally in from the Earth, but Jupiter, of course, being way out there. But it's all because of how they're aligned right now. So you're seeing this, like, amazing trick before your eyes. But like I say, Rosie, how many people would pay attention to this if we didn't talk about it? And surprisingly, a lot more than we would imagine. So many people, of course, love the things that we talk about here, and we love them too.
And these planetary conjunctions, wasn't too long ago we were talking about one that was occurring in the southeast sky, that maybe 2 months ago?
Absolutely. And it's funny that you mentioned that, because there's still a second part to this conjunction thing. If you don't or do not get a chance to see this tonight, because I'm taking a little flack over the meteor shower stuff. You know, we just had Meteor Madness at the Lost Dutchman Park.
Yes, yes.
200-plus people.
Awesome.
The whole night. Oh, it was beautiful.
Was it a great display?
No, and that's the truth. And I never tell anything but the truth. But the way it was advertised by the – and I actually put the astronomer on our little local broadcast out there, and he's a great guy, Dr. Cook of NASA. And he's like, well, I'm up with you too, Dr. Sky. And we had him as like a live, you know, talk back to the audience there. But we saw maybe about 20 meteors the whole night. But you know, Rosie, those 20 meteors were pretty darn bright. So, wow. But we didn't see the hundreds that they predicted. But that's an amazing story unto itself. So here's the rest of the conjunction.
Yes, I dragged you off into one of Rosie's bunny trails.
That's all right, brother. Look to the south at sunset.
Okay.
And this can happen all week. What we have is this dance of planets. We have Saturn, which is the top object that we're talking about. We have Mars, which is to the left. If you were to look at a straight line in the south, Mars is the brightest of the objects, just a little bit to the left, the lower left of Saturn. And below it is a star called Antares. This is a supergiant star, red, in the constellation Scorpius, about 600 light years away. So just a few days ago, I was telling people on other programs that there's a vertical line of planets. Now we see this triangle, or this bent line of planets, because Mars is now, of course, overtaking Saturn, which is the farthest of the objects. So simply this, you're watching planets in motion because the Earth is moving. You have that beautiful conjunction due south, Rosie, at sunset, and the I call spectacular of biblical proportions conjunction of both Venus and Jupiter. So cool things that you don't even have to have a telescope to basically find or see, but the binoculars and telescope enhance the experience.
And in the midst of all of this, in this past week, we find out there's another Earth-like planet.
Oh, it's amazing, Rosie. It's something that was discovered and announced actually a while ago, but the astronomers wanted to be careful, just like the meteor predictions. Let's get all our facts together first. Well, the nearest star to the sun, if you can go outside the solar system, is the Alpha Centauri system. And this is, of course, that great centers around that great television show, you know, Lost in Space, when they went in their, you know, beautiful spacecraft, the Jupiter 2, their journey of about 5 light years was to Alpha Centauri. So this is the area, Rosie, where this new Earth-like planet has been discovered. There's a little star of the three of the Alpha Centauri stars called Proxima, the closest, a little over 4.5 light years away. So simply the astronomers have detected with a gigantic southern telescope in Chile, they've found what appears to be a small Earth-like planet, 1.3 times the size of the planet Earth, that orbits around this particular star, and it happens to lie in that area that we consider to be what we call that sacred zone. They call it the Goldilocks zone. So if they're right, now we have a planetary body that's not 40 light years away, like we got excited about with one in the past, within our lifetimes. But here's how far that translates to, and I know you like the comparative numbers.
Yes.
The Voyager spacecraft, which is still going out into the solar system,
yes,
it's billions of miles, literally, away from us, and still transmitting. If we were to send that same type of probe, Voyager, out toward Alpha Centauri, it would still take 70,000 years, that's right, folks, 70,000 years just to get there. So some serious science is going on about how do we propel objects faster than what we have as conventional chemical rockets. And we have a Russian billionaire that proposes a journey to Alpha Centauri with a gram-sized little nanochip with solar sails that can actually propel. And that science is something that when we do our 100-hour seminar, right, Rosie? To talk
about. Oh, man.
No, that's an amazing concept. And Congressman John Culberson, you know, we've had him on our program in Texas. He's the guy who signs the checks and funds NASA. He wants to propose by the 100th anniversary of the Apollo 11 landing, thus 2069, that we send a dedicated spacecraft out to Alpha Centauri. But in the simplest way, Rosie, this early morning, here is what we consider an Earth-like planet with a question mark around it. Does it have life? Does it have water? We don't know. Close enough to a star in the habitable zone that could be one that, who knows, maybe there's people like us or beings like us that are wondering the same thing.
25 trillion miles away. Well, Dr. Sky, it's always an adventure when
we
bring you on board and have you take us through the realms of the outer galaxies. We appreciate your willingness to participate at Rosie on Us. Any events in the last 30 seconds here? Any events coming up?
Tonight we're on the Dolly Steamboat, but the next one, we're doing another cruise tonight at 6.
Cool.
That one's pretty much sold out. But September 24th, folks, give them a good phone call over there at 480-827-9144 for the next Dr. Sky cruise to the cosmos. And Rosie, hey, thank you so much for having me in the house talking about these cool things.
Oh, we always love it, and so do the listeners, Dr. Sky. Thanks a million. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you, sir.
I mean, just the dimensions that we talk about when we have Dr. Sky on just absolutely are mind-bending. And then when he says you're looking into the solar system and out of the solar system all at the same time, it's like, wow.
I just want to know how you aim whatever these solar chips he was talking about. How do you aim it at that? You have to wait till the Earth is in perfect rotation looking at that. And to travel 70,000 miles at a constantly moving
70,000 years
at a constantly moving target. I'm thinking they're going to have to send a couple hundred thousand of these to make sure it lands.
One of them lands. We'll have to have Tim Malcolm on to talk about that for sure. And, hey, more when we get back here at Rosie on the House. And y'all stay tuned. John J. Harper's just walked into the studio. We'll be getting going in the outdoor hour right at 8 o'clock. But more great stuff, the last segment of the 7 o'clock show.